Royals to take it. And Deeney.
McDeeney, deep left center field, and that is gone. And Deeney has his first Major League home run.
First Major League home run for Deeney, and the Royals do win. Jorge Lopez with a decent start for once. Five innings, gives up just one run. Royals use six pitchers in all. And the Royals beat the Baltimore Orioles last night by a final of 5-4. Ian Kennedy with the save. Ned Yost and Jorge Lopez.
Did a great job, you know, rebounded nicely. We were going to take him to somewhere, you know, in the mid-60s pitch-wise, and he got us there in five innings. It was great with the lead, opportunity for, you know, for him to get the win. But two hits, he just threw the ball extremely well, and I was pleased. You know, he's had a rough go here lately, and I was real pleased to see him pitch so effectively and pitch so well.
So the Royals did get the win. Royals will be in action again today against Baltimore, and the Royals do get the win yesterday 5-4. Brad Keller on the hill for the boys in blue, 7-13 on the year, 6.05 first pitch. Royals now 45-80 on the season. Adalberto Mondesi, Danny Duffy making progress with their injuries. They could be back soon. Their number one prospect, Bobby Witt, had a big game in Arizona yesterday. So the Royals, well, luckily, they still have a home to play in Kansas City, because that's where we segue into. Before I get to that, Billy Hamilton signing with the Braves. Royals let him loose. He was picked up off of waivers. He will not even be allowed to bat. He's going to be a defensive replacement and a pinch runner. Basically, he's Terrence Gore II. That's what Billy Hamilton now is, but at least he's with a contender, and his job is to get on base. Well, they'll get on base for him. Then he can run. Defensive replacement, that's what I said all along. That's what Hamilton is now, because he doesn't have much of a bat. And so Hamilton now a member of the Atlanta Braves. Talking about eviction. Yes. We don't talk about eviction very often on this show, does
no.
we? Have we ever talked about eviction on this show?
I cannot recall a time when we did.
I do not recall that either. Well, there's a baseball team that's been evicted from Kansas City. Some people would joke that the Royals are so bad, maybe they should be evicted. But at least they won a World Series here recently. The Unified Government of Wyandotte County in Kansas City, Kansas, is evicting the Kansas City T-Bones baseball team from the public-owned stadium in Village West for defaulting on agreed-upon payments to the Unified Government and Board of Public Utilities. The Unified Government reworked the management agreement with the T-Bones in 2017 in an effort to keep the team in the stadium. Under the agreement, the T-Bones were responsible for paying utility bills, past utility bills, and past due payments for use of the stadium. As of the day of the eviction notice, the T-Bones baseball team is delinquent in paying over $358,000 in current utility payments, over $328,000 in past due Board of Public Utility costs, and $75,000 owed under the lease agreement for use of the stadium. As of the date of the eviction notice, the T-Bones owners have made only 3 out of 48 monthly payments, making the baseball organization in default for 45 monthly payments. The eviction of the T-Bones baseball team from the UG-owned ballpark does not erase the debts, and they reserve the right and intend to seek all remedies available to collect on the financial obligations. They say that they have several options for future of the stadium. It can be marketed to the owner of a new baseball team. They can have many different events there, so forth and so on. As you can imagine, there was a response from the T-Bones and their president, Adam Ehlert. Ehlert? I don't think it's Ehlert. E-H-L-E-R-T. Don't have to confuse any Ehlerts around here.
Yeah.
He says, and I quote, "We are shocked by what appears to be this capricious action." Big words. "We have been in close communication with the UG, keeping them apprised of our status as we work towards the sale of the club. Today's timing is the real surprise, as we've shared publicly and with the UG that a sale will not be completed or announced during the season. Baseball continues this week as we're in the midst of a franchise record winning streak, 12 games, and hopefully into the playoffs as we defend our league championship. We remain optimistic that a solution will be reached in the short term to retain baseball in a great market for the long term. The millions of fans who have enjoyed our product over nearly two decades could share, or should share, our optimism for the future as we work to close the sale to the next operator of this franchise. Hashtag fun, well done." Because they're the T-Bones. T-Bones.
Yes.
Cook it. Well done. So forth and so on.
I don't want a T-Bone well done, but I guess if you want to use that hashtag, you can.
I guess. All right. First of all, if Dusty misses 45 of 48 monthly payments, first of all, do you think Dusty's going to be allowed to get that far? No.
If I miss
a couple, you're in trouble.
Like 3 out of 6 monthly payments, I'm probably getting close to being evicted.
You're probably in big trouble. Like if you rent a place and you don't pay rent for, say, 3 months or even for a month or two, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in big trouble.
Depending on how lenient your landlord is.
I don't think landlords are so lenient that they're like, yeah, well, you know, we paid 3 times. in 2 years, because that's 48 months. That's 4 years,
that's
actually.
Four, yeah.
4 years. So he's paid once a year, but this year he hasn't got us his one-time payment, but he owes 11 other months of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Listen, the UG, I'm going to just tell you what I think. The unified government got fed up.
Yeah.
They said, we've given you enough
time.
It's
something that they really want to have.
Right.
And this is why it's gone this long.
Right.
Because they
right.
didn't want to do it.
No,
but
they didn't want to come.
You reach a point, you have to do it.
They didn't want to come to this. And they basically were probably backed into a corner from the standpoint that, listen, we've got to find some resolution to this. We've got to move forward. And if it happens to be during a 12-game winning streak for the T-Bone, so be it. Listen, I believe the UG on this one. I'm not buying the "we're shocked by what appears to be this capricious action." I mean, you haven't paid 45 times in 48 months, and you're shocked that they might evict you? You should be shocked that you weren't evicted a long time ago. And that happens with professional sports teams.
You start this season, it sounds like.
That happens with professional sports teams. It happens with, you know, your Home Depots, your Lowe's of the world that get to come in tax-free and get all kinds of benefits that, you know, because you're trying to drive, like Hayes did that with Home Depot. They brought him in and they said, hey, you don't have to pay taxes on this. Well, but if you're a regular Joe Blow business owner, right,
yeah.
and you want to start your own business, do you think Hayes is going to waive all those fees for you?
No,
because what Hayes is saying, as with a lot of towns, is, well, we need the business, we need manufacturing, and we need jobs. And we got people to come to, if Home Depot employs 200 people, that's 200 people have jobs in Hayes. So that helps our local economy, so forth and so on. So they're like, well, we're okay to waive that. Whereas if it's, you know, Dusty Dynas opening up his own little small business and he has 3 full-time employees, they're not going to cut him any breaks.
No.
It doesn't seem fair. It really doesn't. But it is what it is. I mean, you understand it from a perspective of trying to get people to come to your town and bring manufacturing to your town. I get that. I really do. But the unified government gave the T-Bones more than enough time to get this figured out. And I'm guessing the communication, there was a breakdown in communication at some point. Somebody's not being honest here. We've been in close communication with UG. Well, if you have, why are they evicting you and you don't know anything about getting evicted today? There's something not right there. Somebody's not being truthful. And, you know, I'm not big a fans of sometimes government, any kind of government interaction, as you know, at any level. But at the same time, I know it's needed. And sometimes they overstep their bounds. But in this case, you haven't paid 45 times out of 48. Look in the mirror, man.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror. Well, we've tried to work this out. Well, you apparently haven't moved quickly enough.
No. I mean, yeah. And I get where you're not going to probably announce a sale during the middle of the season.
Sure.
I get that part of it.
Wouldn't you be like telling the UG that we've got a deal done here?
And say, hey, we're good to go.
Right.
After the season's over, this club is sold.
Yes.
We just need to wait until the season's over
Us another month or two, whatever it is, the season over.
Yeah.
You've given us 45 out of 48 we haven't paid. What's a couple more months?
Yeah.
Just give us that. And maybe that's what they did, and that's why they're shocked by it. Maybe the UG agreed to it, and the UG's lying? I don't know. Anyway, it's a mess. And don't know if anybody's going to buy the team and then they keep them in Kansas City. I mean, I would think that's what's eventually going to happen. There'll still be a semi-pro team there.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not minor league baseball. It's not an affiliate of the major leagues.
Yeah.
I've seen people say, we lose the minor league baseball. You didn't have minor league baseball.
Yeah.
That's semi-pro baseball.
Yeah.
It's not any affiliation with the Royals or any major league baseball franchise. Okay, the team that Wichita's getting, that's a minor league affiliate.
Yeah.
That's coming to town, which we don't. They might be called the Flying Monkeys. I saw that now as a nickname, possibly. The Flying Squirrel Monkeys or something crazy like that. I don't think that's probably right for Wichita, but hey, whatever. Floats your boat. Okay, so a team's evicted Kansas City, but it's not the Royals, so good news for Royals fans, bad news for T-Bone fans right now. The first practice of the season yesterday for our local sports teams. You know, yesterday was really hot, although I have to say this summer hasn't been nearly as hot as it can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's been relatively seasonally cooler than normal. We've had lots of rain here in north central Kansas, so forth and so on. And whether school starts earlier or later, you still got to start practices at some point before your first game. And the first game is September the 6th. So you got to practice sometimes probably in the heat and so forth and so on. It's interesting that I saw yesterday that some schools chose to practice later in the day at 6 o'clock, go a little bit later, and then other schools just were like, we're going to keep going at 3:30. I don't know which is right or which is wrong.
Yeah.
But You know, it's one of those things where you have so much heat early on in practices. Now, they shouldn't be in pads the first day. I don't even think they're allowed to
be in pads the first day. I mean, you got to have like 5 days.
5 days of practice.
Full pads.
Yeah, before you have full pads. So thankfully you got that. Although, who knows? Next week it might be 102 and you're in pads. But we've heard about, you know, heat strokes and things like this to high school athletes, college athletes, even pro athletes before.
Yeah.
It's something you got to be very careful about. And it was interesting when I saw on Twitter that some schools, I know Fort Scott was one, there's a few others, that said practice will be at 6 instead of 3:30. And there's other schools that just went right at it. I saw pictures of McPherson. Felt like 102 yesterday, and they practiced right after school and didn't go any later. It's just interesting difference in philosophies. And in this day and age when there's so much liability and something bad can happen, I would think schools would be better off. Or I would think, not necessarily schools, but I would think teams and coaches would be better off saying, you know what, let's just play it safe and move it to 6, move it a little bit later. Now, that can cause some problems for families and parents and this and that, and I get that too. But what's ultimately most important? The safety of
safety
the kids.
Kids, yeah.
So it's interesting that some are just, I saw things on Twitter yesterday, can't wait for first practice. I think, and it's like, oh, let's go, 3:30, let's go. And it's like, can you wait a couple hours and go along, it's a little cooler? It's just interesting that each... You know, I guess it's to come. I guess it's up to the coaching staff to decide. I don't know if the schools jump in.
Well, some places are probably different. I'll bet there are some schools that demand that they don't do it until this time.
Right.
But I think most schools probably trust their coaches and let them make that decision.
So anyway, it was kind of interesting to see different philosophies yesterday on the first day of practice for those that are outside, which, of course, you know, football is the one you think of. Volleyball will be inside. Speaking of volleyball, I had the pleasure of working with the Tennels up in Centralia, Kimbrook Tennell and Kim Tennell, his wife. Yes, that's true. His name is Kimbrook and his wife's name is Kim. I'm not lying. I can't make it up. Well, so anyway, last year was his final year. Kimbrook Tennell's the head coach of the Panther volleyball team, and he's battling colon cancer. Had part of his colon removed. He was actually dealing with radiation, this and that, and he'd still make it to practice. And his team, it's an interesting story that Brent Maycock, I know Brent, he does a nice job at Topeka Capital Journal. And so it's an interesting story, and I've retweeted it. And it was amazing at the time when I was covering him and his wife's volleyball and basketball teams, and he was also a very good track and field coach as well. He's now at the age of 66, but he's coached for 43 years. And he's been part of 26 state championships, which that's insane.
Yes,
that's insane. But his combined volleyball and basketball coaching record is 1,098 wins to 97 losses. I'm not talking in a decade. Yeah. I'm talking his whole career combined volleyball and basketball, 1,098 wins in 97 losses. So let's do the math on this, which I wish Brent would have put this in his story. That would make it even more impressive. So let's see there. And then I got to add 97. So that would be 1,195. He won 92%.
Yeah.
Every 10 games played, volleyball, basketball, he lost 0.8 of the percent of the time out of 10. Not even a full one. So his first 3 years at Nemaha Valley in Seneca, they won 3 state championships in a row, had a long winning streak. And so Kimbrook Tennell said, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if my last 3 years we could do the same thing at Centralia? So that was used as motivation. Players played for him. They played for themselves. Last year, Centralia went 47-0. Won their third straight Class 1A state title, and Kimbrook Tennell ended his coaching career on an 80-match winning streak. That's called going out on top.
Yeah, no doubt.
Going out on top. Amazing. He had a 137-match winning streak as a head coach of Nemaha Valley volleyball, then an 80-match winning streak last year with Centralia, as we mentioned. He won all kinds of state championships. His volleyball record ended up being 791-49. And I can tell you something. I covered Centralia up there, and I always knew they'd make state almost always. But they had to beat some really good competition to get the state. And here's the thing. You looked at them on the floor. You didn't say they were clearly the more talented team.
No.
Every once in a while, you might. But they always work together really well, teamwork-wise, fantastic. They communicated, which people in regular society can't do anymore.
Yeah.
They communicated, they worked together, and they bust their butt off in practice, and that comes from the coach.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them the last few years, and it's like, this team doesn't look like anything special. But then they get out there on the court, and it's like, oh, my goodness, they're everywhere at the right time. They do everything the right way. Because there's some hitters out there that don't look like your prototypical hitters.
No, they don't have 6 foot three or 6 foot at the net.
No, and you know they've got, they have athletes. Let's not mistake that. But they're not the same as like a Chelsea Keating, let's say for Frankfurt, who was just a stud at that level and that same level. Hanover's had some really good athletes. The Debleys come to mind and things like that. But these, Maddie Leaguer was good. But it's all teamwork. It's everything being done the right way at the right time. And like you said, that comes from the coach putting them in the best positions to win and succeed. And there was no doubt about that, because you look at those teams, and even when they warm up, it's like, I don't know if they're anything that special.
They're not.
And then all of a sudden, you're getting beat by them like 25, 16, 17 every time you try to play them. Because they're in the right place at the right time all the time.
They're like a machine.
Yeah.
Kimbrick Tennell is 66, his wife Kim. I got to know them really well when I was up in northeast Kansas. They're planning on moving to Urbandale, Iowa. And two of their children live there, and I was fortunate enough to cover them when they were in sports, too. Mick Lynette was outstanding at Cloud County, helped them to a national championship. Mm-hmm. She's starting up a Teams of Tomorrow franchise, a program that teaches basketball to preschool and elementary school children. And Kenton, I covered him. I knew him even better than Mick Lynette. Kenton was a good athlete, not a superstar, good, solid athlete, good basketball player. He was a good football player. He coaches girls basketball at Urbandale, Iowa, so they're going to be near their kids, which is awesome for mm-hmm. them. And Kimbrook apparently is doing okay. But, I mean, the numbers just are mind-boggling. I mean, it's one thing to have an 80-match winning streak, 137-match winning streak. This is volleyball. By the way, his volleyball record, 791 wins, 49 losses. That computes to winning 94.2% of the time. That's even better than what I just told you overall combined with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a player I talked to, and she said, you know what? Coach Tennell's not my friend. This is what she told me. She said, Kimbrook or Coach Tennell is not my friend. And there's times I get, he can really push you so far. But she said, I respect the hell out of him. Those were her words, exactly. Yeah. And of course, when you're winning, you want to win. And you know he knows how to win. So when he walks in, you immediately stand up and go, okay, this guy knows how to win. So does his wife. Let's do what he says. It's not like he rolls in the first day like some punk out of college, and we had that at Waukini. Some guy comes in, sticking his chest out, thinking he knows everything about basketball, and thinks he's God's gift to basketball, and he thinks he has all the answers, and you're like, dude, you're just out of college. You don't have the credibility, is my point.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to prove it. Now, maybe you got to buy in. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt, I guess, but there's a way to handle it. And Kimbrook Tennell, and I remember when I first... We did locker room chats, coaches shows. And Kimbrook, a little paranoid. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, yeah.
Kimbrook, a little paranoid. And I would always say, like, hey, I'm going to be doing a volleyball match. I want to do a girls basketball game. I'm like, you got any stats you could send me? He's like, yeah, I really don't want to give stats. I'm like, can you just give me anything? Like, can you tell me who leads your team in spikes, kills? Can you give me, like, who's the leading scorer, like, at 12.5, just say 13 points a game? And there are some coaches out there that are paranoid to give us stats. And then there are some coaches that will give you everything you want. Some post on Max Preps, which is awesome. Some coaches are just tight-lipped like it's a government secret. And then what's funny is then they act like they're going to give away all this big top secrets with all their stats, but yet everybody can get access to film and huddle and everything else. So it's not like you're going to figure out who can't shoot, okay?
Oh,
you're
going
to figure out pretty soon in basketball or what guy can't throw the football, things like that. And so, but what's interesting, I share this story, is that Kimbrick was really pretty tight to the vest when I first got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of when I worked with him, I developed a relationship with him, and it wasn't a bad one to start, but he was tight-lipped. He wouldn't say too much on the shows.
Yeah.
And by the end, I got him to talk more. I was able to get more information, and he would only give that stuff to me, some of the statistics, because he trusted me.
Yeah.
And then when I left, when I moved here, he and his wife, Kim, were just very, I mean, they were nothing but nice things to say about me. And they said, we're going to miss you. We loved the coverage, the state volleyball play-by-play, sub-state volleyball. We did some of that at times up there. The B&B Centralia battles. And it was just like there was just a tremendous amount of respect between them and me. But you had to earn it.
Oh, yeah.
You had to earn it. And I think that's what's happening in society today. And trust me, I've been going through some things lately with people where apparently respect isn't in the vocabulary anymore for people. They don't understand that maybe you should communicate and get back to people on certain things. Because I guarantee you, if they called me wanting something right away, they'd want me to get back to them.
Yeah.
It's a lack of respect. That does not apply to the Centralia Panther volleyball team. There's so much respect for that program, so much respect for the Tennels. And I wish Kimbrook and Ken, I wish I had their phone number and I would call them and just say, hey, thanks for everything. I mean, because you guys are awesome. And they did do it a little bit differently. They're a little, I would call intrinsic personalities, different personalities. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying they weren't your prototypical coaches. I mean, if you met Kimbrook Tennell on the street, you'd never know he's...
No.
You would never, ever guess.
I was like,
he's a guy that's won 26 state championships, and he's a coach. You would, and the way he talks, you wouldn't really gather it. You just wouldn't. But my Lord, that I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't even know. I mean, CJ Hamilton's an amazing coach, all right? Roger Barta, an amazing coach, no question.
Yeah.
And there's others out there, okay? Severino at Rockhurst, great coach, you know? But that's Missouri side. I'm going to say right now, and you can argue with me all you want, the greatest coach in the history of the state of Kansas in high school athletics, I'm not talking football, I'm talking
it's overall
all the way around, is Kimbrook Tennell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can get a lot of argument about that.
How can you argue?
Yeah.
26 state championships, and there's a picture of him with all the trophies at Centralia on the basketball floor. You barely can see the guy.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Self brags about... Or not brags, but KU shows all the rings and they take pictures in the office and show them the Big 12 trophies, which is impressive. No question about it. 26 state championships. So you think that's good? 44 times his teams have been in the top three.
Yeah.
So when they don't win the state title, they get third.
Yeah.
He's also coached 14 individual state track and field champions. That's called winning, as Charlie Sheen would say. Whoa, winning? Every day? Defeat not an option? Defeat was not an option.
No, it was not. I mean,
if Centralia lost a volleyball match, it was gigantic news.
Oh.
If Centralia girls basketball lost, didn't make it to the state, it was gigantic news. I remember one time we had our sportscast and we let off with Centralia in basketball and Kimbrook was the coach. They were undefeated, number one seed at the sub-state, and they got knocked out in the sub-state semifinals. And it was a shock. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. They just had a bad night. They couldn't make anything. Wasn't Kimbrook's fault, you know? And he'll tell you, I get too much credit. I guarantee he'll tell you that. So they lost. And so we lead sports the next morning with... We led with Centralia loses, snaps their winning streak in basketball, and they're not going to make it to state. And I got two people call from Centralia. Oh, yeah, now you talk all about Centralia when we lose, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's the ultimate sign of respect.
Yeah.
It means you're awesome. If you're the lead story because you got eliminated, I said, we don't do that with any other program. I said, we covered you at state volleyball. We covered you at state basketball. I said, it is a gigantic story. It's a statewide story because you were upset. It's like the Yankees not winning the World Series. It's a team going 40-0 like Kentucky and losing in the Final Four. It's the ultimate sign of respect. We're not knocking the program. It's a gigantic story. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it just was interesting when it got that. It's like, man, this is the ultimate sign of respect, is that we are leading our sports with this story. Because it's unbelievably shocking and people drop their jaw because they can't believe Centralia lost. It was like they're a robot.
Yeah.
They never lose. And that's why when you did beat them, it was gigantic. It was huge. And for the team that beat them, it like made their season. I remember a couple times Centralia lost to somebody. That team went into a tailspin after they beat Centralia.
Yeah.
Because that was the season.
Yeah.
That was the Super Bowl. Well, we beat Centralia. At the end of the year, who was holding up the state trophy? Centralia. Usually Centralia.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny that, that defeat is not an option thing, because I remember, I want to say it was, it would have been, now if we're in 19, it was, would have been 3 years ago when Centralia was out of state. volleyball, and Hanover beat them in pool play. And Centralia was 39-0 going into that match. They would have been 40-0 had they won that one. And Hanover beat them in two sets. And it was like, you look at these people, you want, it was like that, the cartoon, like where there'd be smoke coming out of somebody's ears, they're so mad. That was the Centralia fans and the people that were there for Centralia. Yeah. When they lost that match to Hanover in pool play, and it ruined a chance to be 40-0 at that point. But then I was like, this is not good for Hanover, because they're probably going to play them again tomorrow, and it's not going to go as well, and it definitely didn't. Centralia still won the state championship and finished, I think, 41-1 and 42-1, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But it was the pressure inside that arena was just unbelievable. After they lost that match, it was like, oh my goodness, they're not happy about this, and rightfully so, because like you said, defeat's not an option, and they lost, and it ruined a perfect season for them. But they had one loss and still won the state championship. So it is, it's a whole different ball game there when you're looking at their fans and what they expect out of their program. But it's built up, and everybody respects the reasoning,
sure,
that's what they expect out of their program.
Right. I mean, let me give you numbers again. You're just tuning in. His overall coaching record, basketball and volleyball combined, was 1,098 wins versus 97 losses. And oh, by the way, they were the hunted.
Oh yeah, every year
there was a target on their back every single match.
Yeah,
trust me on that. And they played in one of the toughest leagues in the state.
Oh yeah, without question.
Through many of those years. Sometimes the state championship was the regional final or the sub-state final.
Yeah.
And then his volleyball record, 791 wins, 49 losses, and tons of state championships, which I don't – you have 26 total state championships. They don't have broken down how many he had in volleyball.
I think it's either 15 or 16. I can't remember if this year was their 15th or 16th.
He won six titles with the Nemaha Valley. Then he and his wife, Liz, and traded eight straight 1A titles. I was there for a couple of those. Then after his wife stepped down in 2005, he took a brief hiatus, returned to Centralia in 2007, added five more state titles. So, yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
No.
Pretty good. 26 overall state championships, 44 top three trophies. And last year, he stepped away from coaching, colon cancer, part of his colon removed, and still coached the team to an undefeated record in a state championship while he was dealing with radiation. Wow.
And everybody's like, I don't think Centralia needed something to rally around.
No.
And, you know, the people from the outside, right, you know, they're like, I think they're all right. But they definitely did. They rallied around that and people made sure that they did it for him that time.
You're right. You're so right. Like, you'd be at the state tournaments and everybody be cheering against Centralia.
Because
it's like, we just want the big bad monster to get knocked off.
Yeah.
Because they were the team that won all the time. I just want to see somebody else win. And I feel the same way when I watch, you know, the Yankees winning all the time. Or I like to see somebody new win most of the
time. Every Big 12 basketball fan for 14 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Other than Kansas.
Everybody, unless you're a KU fan, everybody wants to knock off Kansas. You're cheering against Kansas no matter what. And it's the same way that was against Centralia. But as I've always said, that is the ultimate sign of respect. It's like when Duke loses, everybody in America rejoices. You know, when KU loses in the Big 12, or even, you know, there's a lot of people in America probably rejoice when KU loses, and basketball too. It's a complete ultimate. And Kentucky loses, people rejoice for basketball. Mm-hmm. Alabama, they lose in football. It's a gigantic deal. I know I enjoy it. It's the ultimate sign of respect. It means you're just a powerhouse. And everybody just wants to see anybody but you win. And yet they would still win, despite all
that. Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes it so, so impressive. Okay, we have Riley Gates coming on here in about a few minutes. Top 25 college football poll has been released. And speaking of Alabama, they are number 2 in the poll. They must be underrated. Clemson is the number 1 team. First time ever they've been number 1 at the top of the polls in the preseason poll. Alabama's 2, Georgia 3, Oklahoma 4, Ohio State 5, LSU 6, Michigan 7, Florida 8, Notre Dame 9, Texas 10, Oregon 11, A&M 12, Washington 13, Utah 14, Penn State 15, Auburn at 16, Central Florida at 17, Michigan State 18, Wisconsin 19, Iowa at 20. Iowa State's ranked 21st, Syracuse 22nd, Washington State 23rd, Stanford 25th, and the team at number 24 is a team that went 4-8 last year. First team since, I think, the early 2000s to have a 4-8 record or worse and end up being ranked the next year. Nebraska, Scott Frost and his team, there's high expectations they're going to be much better. And Nebraska, well, they had not been ranked in the preseason since 2014. That's their longest drought out of the polls since the late 50s. It also ends a string of 32 straight polls in which the Huskers were not ranked. Yeah, so there you have it. Nebraska is ranked. Who is overrated? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to look in the top 10. 6, 7, 8, and maybe even 9. LSU, Michigan, Florida, overrated. I'm gonna definitely say Michigan, Florida, especially Florida. And I'm going to say I think Texas shouldn't be a top 10 team either. But they did beat Georgia last year. They finished strong.
They beat Oklahoma last year.
Do you think Texas is going to be a top 10 team at the end of the year? I don't think so.
They're going to be on the edge of it, I think. But I'm going to say no right now.
Which one of these teams is least likely being a top 10 at the end of the season? LSU, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, or Texas?
I think Florida.
I do, too. I agree with Florida. Notre Dame, you know, they're not in a conference.
Yeah, that
helps.
You just never know.
Right, exactly. Okay, Alabama 2, Nebraska number 24, and Clemson is the number one team. Jalen Hurts, big shocker. He's been named the starting quarterback of Oklahoma Sooners. Lincoln Riley kept saying he's got to earn it. Whatever. He's a starting quarterback. No shocker there. He beat out Tanner Mordecai, a freshman, and true freshman Spencer Rattler for the job. They didn't bring him in as a transfer to sit on the bench. Everybody knew that. So bad news for the Chiefs. Marcus Kemp, as we talked about yesterday, he's had a great training camp. Good special teams player. He's out for the year, torn ACL, MCL. So he is out for the season. So that's opportunity for Byron Pringle, K-Stater, and others.